And God heard their cry and delivered them. They were delivered out of Egypt, led by Moses. Similarly, we too are in bondage, the bondage of sin. And through God's initiative, God was able to speak to our hearts. There came a time when those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior accepted Him. We accepted the fact that we are sinners who needed to be saved. And we cried out to God. And God, just as He heard the cries of the children of Egypt while they were in bondage, He heard our cry as we cried to Him about our bondage. And God delivered us. I want to compare what happened when God called Moses up to Mount Sinai with when God called Jesus up, when Jesus was ascended. I want us to draw a little comparison there because I see some similarities that I want to bring to your attention. When Moses was up in the mountain, we are told in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1 that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. It says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain." Let's go to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. And see what Moses instructed the people just before he ascended to the top of the mountain. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. This is when God had instructed Moses to get up to Mount Sinai. The Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay there. And I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Verse 13. Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. God instructed him. Moses took Joshua with him and at a certain point left Joshua and by himself went to the top of the mountain. We know this because when we read further down in Exodus chapter 32, we are told that when Moses came down from the mountain and met Joshua, what happened? So that explains that Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai by himself. Verse 14, he said to the elders, "Wait here for us." That's before he and Joshua began the ascent to the top. "Wait here for us until we come back to you." Don't miss those words. Moses gave an instruction to them that he was coming back. God himself had indicated to Moses that he was going to spend some time up in the mountain. If you remember what we read in verse 12, God said to him, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay there. Stay there." I found through scriptures that when we read certain things in the Bible, they may seem insignificant, but God doesn't waste words. When God said to Moses, "Come up and stay there," God knew exactly what he had in mind. He was going to spend some time there, whether Moses realized it or not. But anyway, Moses, when he was about to leave the elders there, he said, "Wait there for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you. And anyone involved in a dispute, go to them." Moses said he was coming back. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Now Jesus had arisen from the grave, and he was declaring to his disciples how they should wait in Jerusalem because they were going to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus essentially was saying to them also, don't go anywhere, stay there. Stay there. Remain in Jerusalem. But here, after Jesus had spoken to them, and I didn't go to those verses, I'm just telling you what preceded verse 9, and you can read it for yourself because these are interesting verses. Dr. Luke here is telling us, giving us an account from verse 9. He says, now when he had spoken these things, that's Jesus, while they watch, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he, Jesus, went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are angels, of course, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come. See the comparison there? Just like Moses, he told the Israelites, wait until I come back to you. Moses gave instruction for them to wait. Jesus, when Jesus left, here the angels reminded those around that Jesus will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Clear instructions. There is no ambiguity here. It's clear. Jesus is coming back. Now, I know we live our lives and we don't think a whole lot about Jesus coming back. We go about our day-to-day business and we go on, you know, not thinking about that. But we ought to be reminded. We ought to know as followers of God, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back. And we ought to remember this fact. Jesus is coming back. Just like Moses said he was coming back and did come back down, Jesus himself is coming back. Moses told the Israelites to wait. Even so, the disciples and the followers of Jesus were told to wait for the return of Jesus. How do we wait? How do we wait? Have we become restless in our waiting? Certainly this was the situation with the Israelites. This man, Moses, he's taking so long to return. We don't even know what has happened to him. Let us do our own thing in the meantime. Before I continue there, I'm going to take you back to Exodus chapter 24 because there are some things there that I saw and I thought it's worth mentioning because it's relevant. It's relevant. And it's about Moses' approach to God. Moses in the presence of God. And please, when you have the time, you can read through from at least Exodus 19 right on maybe to the end, but at least to get the whole sense, the whole picture of what's going on here. When you have some free time, when you're not molested by anyone, no noise, maybe you get up some night and you have to go to the restroom and you can't fall back to sleep and you don't know what to do. Here is something that you can do then in the quietness when you're on your own. Here is verse 15. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. Now here's the part that catches my attention. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. For 6 days, Moses went up at the top of Mount Sinai, and it says, for 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. Wait a minute. Moses left Joshua a little further down the mountain. Moses went up to the top of the mountain to meet God because God instructed him to meet him there. And it took God not 1 day, not 2 days. Moses was there alone, not 3 days, not 4 days, not 5 days, 6 days. Moses was there alone, and on the seventh day, God made his contact with Moses. Brothers and sisters, understand this is a serious thing when you come in the presence of the Lord. You can't meet with God when you come to God in a willy-nilly fashion. Listen, and I don't want to stump in anybody's toe. Moses was there in solitude. God was preparing him to meet with him. We can't come to God and not be focused on God. Listen. There was no music to entertain Moses when he was there alone for 6 days. God was preparing him to meet with him. Listen, it just tells us how awesome God is. It just tells us how pure God is. It just tells us of the separation there is between God and us. God is a holy God. Our minds cannot fathom the holiness, the purity of God. 6 days. Wow. 6 days. You know, one of the thoughts that came through as I was reading this, our brother Trevor, our elder Trevor Wilson, came to mind. One of the things that he always talks about, without me saying it, you know, saints don't come to church on time. And we know it's true. We know the importance of being invited by God and coming in the presence of God on time. But this here took it to a different dimension to me. I mean, of course, right now God is finding a way to get us to come to church early. But the point is, it's not just coming for 10 o'clock. If church starts at 10 o'clock. The point is, when you come, are you ready to meet God? Are you in a condition that is good enough to meet God? It took Moses. Moses now, this friend of God, the man who communed with God face to face as a friend would. It took Moses 6 days. Six, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. 6 days all alone in solitude. God was preparing him for their meeting. Meditate on that on your own. It shows us how inferior we are. It shows us how awesome God is. 6 days. 6 days. It says, the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. The glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire. And verse 18 tells us that Moses entered the cloud as he went up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Here again, there's a comparison with Jesus just before he was ascended, because when you read the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 1, you see that before Jesus was ascended, he was on the earth for 40 days. 40 days. 40 days. Here, God would have Moses in his presence. Before Moses went up, God says, when you get up there, you stay there. Oh, you may not see me, you may not hear from me. Don't you get frustrated. Don't you think I'm not keeping my promise to be there. You just stay there. I'm going to come when I feel it's right. It's God's, not ours. We don't tell God when to come. God comes when he thinks the time is right. But the Israelites didn't think that. Moses was staying much longer than they wanted him to. What has become of this man, Moses? We don't know what's happened to him. And you know, it says, come, let us make gods that shall go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. That is verse 1 of Exodus 32. And straight away in verse 2 we read, and Aaron said to them, break off golden earrings. You know, I mean, the Bible is just telling us what happened. But I think Aaron must have had some thoughts in between verse 1 and verse 2. Aaron must have said something like, let me think about this a little bit, please. Aaron must have said, you know what, maybe we can wait another day. We can wait a week. Come on, guys. Let's not do this. But of course, the Bible just jumps into it. I think that Aaron must have given it some thought. He did not react immediately, such as it's presented here. Just got to use your imagination. The Bible is only reporting what happened. But it so happened that they were frustrated with the delay of Moses, and they began to take matters in their own hands. Jesus has left us. He has gone into glory. He is there making intercession for us. And while he is up there in the presence of the Father, we are here on earth waiting for his return. What are we doing? How different are we from the children of Israel who got frustrated, who ran out of patience, and who built for themselves a calf and said, hey, this is our God who led us out of the land of Egypt. Are we really different than they? What we see the Israelites did is that they created their own religion. They bypassed God. They couldn't wait for God. Their impatience caused them to make their own God. There is a lot of things happening today in the name of church. I recall a couple of weeks ago, Brother Archie read a letter, I think it's from the internet or Facebook or something, someone who was stating how much she remembered attending Good Tidings, how much she learned, and now because of the time spent at Good Tidings, growing up, Sunday school, listening to the gospel, etc., etc., she can now hear some of the things that are going out there and know for herself, because of our training, because of our experience here, being exposed to the word, She knows that a lot of what she hears is nothing short of religious junk. That is pretty much what she said. I'm using my own words here, I'm paraphrasing. When you are not focused on God, when you are not doing the things that God has asked you to do, you are in essence creating your religion, your own religion. You may be religious, but you are not necessarily pleasing God. And look at your practices. The Bible tells us after they created this golden calf to worship, their burnt offering, their peace offering, religious practices that were instituted by God himself. But guess what? God was not in it. It was not directed to God. Burnt offerings? That is a recognition of the atonement by God and a devotion, a declaration of devotion to God. Burnt offering is a serious thing. Peace offering is a thanksgiving offering. These are serious religious practices. Except that God was not in it. We have to read our Bibles. We have to listen to God. We have to listen to people who have walked the walk before us. And be careful to understand that what we do is of God. And don't fall prey to all the stuff, the religious stuff, or the stuff that is being done in the name of religion today. We are carried away too easily. I remember Dr. Montgomery Boyce. He died many years ago. He was a national speaker, of course. And he didn't mince words. He said, I tell you, I remember, he's returned to Family Radio, I guess about a year or so ago. But I remember him saying, because I love to listen to him, his gospel was just practical. He said, I tell you, all the entertainment in the churches today, people call it worship. He said, I can tell you, it is not worship. That was over 20 years ago. I wonder what Dr. Boyce would say if he were alive today. Coming in God's presence just to feel good because you hear some music now is worship. What in the world is the matter with us? And of course, many of our younger people, some older ones too, are falling for it. It's become such a norm that people don't even talk about it anymore. Hey, come and some guitar guy jumping all over the stage and making you feel good, and I met the Lord. So sad. There was nothing there for Moses when he met God. You can't be closer to God than Moses was. There was none of that. You look at the disciples with Jesus, and it was practical stuff. No, make you feel good stuff. It was the word that mattered. Brothers and sisters, I trust that it will be the same with us. That only the word of God and the instructions that God has given to us will matter as we seek to serve him. Let us not be carried away by emotions. The devil has taken a stranglehold and he's confusing people. You see people carrying on and jumping all over the place and you're hearing, oh, they got the Spirit. The Spirit of God? I wonder. Children of God, children of Israel created their own religion. Let us not create our own religion. Let us do things in the simple way that God has instructed us to do it. When God says to come and remember him, it is not about us. It is not about how we feel. It's not about being cold. The church is too cold. Why is all so quiet so long? Well, Moses was quiet for 6 days in the presence of God. When it's quiet, you should be connecting with God too. When it's quiet, you should be praying. When it's quiet, you should be praising. When it's quiet, you should be seeing the glory of the Lord. You can't see it in noise. Time is so gone. But I got to share a couple more points with you. But I want you to, of course, also read this passage slowly, quietly. There's a lot more than I can even share with you. So when that happened now, God alerted Moses to what was going on. God said to Moses, "Get down, Moses, get down. Your people have sinned." And when I saw those words, "Get you down, get down," to me, it was more than a figure of speech. They were down, not just geographically, they were down spiritually. They were doing godly things, but God was not in it. Get down. And so when Moses got down, who would he meet first? Of course, Joshua, because Joshua was higher up than the others. He met Joshua. And here, Joshua would say to him, "Moses, I hear the sound of war." That is what Joshua told Moses. "That's what I heard." Let me ask you this question. And here's the part. I know today is supposed to be Young People's Day. I'm not seeing too many of them. I'm hoping they're on Zoom. But let me ask you a few questions. Or one extended question. Moses got down from the mountain. And now he was together with Joshua. Joshua said, "Moses, I hear the sound of war." But Moses corrected him. Moses says, "That is not the sound of war." How is it then that two people can be in the same place at the same time, hearing the same sound and coming to different conclusions? How is that possible, man? Wasn't he hearing exactly what Moses was hearing? Yes, he was. But his interpretation was totally different. Moses, of course, had the right interpretation. "What has dawned upon me here is wisdom and experience. Irreplaceable." I recall a CEO many years ago, don't recall his name or what corporation he was CEO of, but in an interview he was given to someone, he recalled his relationship in the conversation with his father. And he said, "You know," something like that, I'm paraphrasing. He says, "You know, even today, before I make a decision and I share it with my board, every week when I speak to my dad, I use him as a sounding board. I share it with him." His father was never in the position he was. His father, and he stressed that, was not even as educated as he was. Yet he found it necessary, the CEO of a large corporation with footprints all over the world, he found it necessary to share it with his father before he shared it with his board. Now, why is that? He recognized the wisdom of his father. And he recognized that his father would not tell him yes when it's no. His father was going to be pure and honest. His father was going to tell him exactly what he thought about his idea. And I'm saying this because too many of our young people, and I, yes, was young also, we think we know it all. We love to remind our parents of our age. Mommy, I'm 18 now. Daddy, I'm 19. I'm a man. I can vote. We love to tell our parents our age as if they don't know what day you were born. They know. They were there. They give birth to you. They knew your date of birth before you came to know it. Don't remind your parents about how old you are. When they say something to you, it's out of their wisdom. They've walked that walk before. They're only trying to protect you. And what they say to you is for your good. Don't just brush it off. You can't replace wisdom. You just can't. And the wisdom of Moses, yes, Joshua was his assistant from the time he got back to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. But the old man was wise. Young people, take advantage. It doesn't have to be. Moses was not the father of Joshua, but Moses was wiser. And Moses could advise him correctly when he interpreted things wrong. And you are going to interpret many sounds that you hear wrongly. And before you make your important decisions, if you don't have a parent that you can share it with, you have older people in the church, you have elders, you have grandparents, you have uncle. Use them, share with them. They are going to tell you it just as they see it. They're not going to hide the facts from you. Well, this is what I think. Two people in the same place, hearing the same sound, yet different conclusions. What makes the difference? The wisdom of the old man, and of course, his closeness to the Lord. His closeness to the Lord. I got to wrap it up now. I want to show you, because we got to speak of the gospel here. The people had sinned. Moses got back to the camp. And Moses says, hey, everyone who comes on my side shall be saved, essentially. He gave them an opportunity to come over to his side. And that is just like God. That is just like our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us an opportunity to repent. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. We've all come short of God. But God makes sure that he gives us a chance to repent. And so Moses said, come over to my side. He gave them an opportunity to repent. And God is giving someone an opportunity to repent today. The Bible tells us that the Levites came over to the side of Moses. And death reigned in the camp to all those who did not repent. Just so it is with God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God knows we have sinned. And he's just not casting us off without giving us this opportunity to repent. Just like the children of Israel were given an opportunity to repent. That some of them, for whatever reason, well, I don't care what Moses says, man. I was having fun here. I was doing my own religious thing and it felt good to me. Why should I come over to your side? But death prevailed because they refuse to listen to God. Is there someone who's listening this morning who is that stubborn? Who refuses to come to God? Who refuses to accept the extended hand of God to repent? Why not come to God this morning? Why not confess your sin? Why not invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and says, Lord, I've sinned. I need your forgiveness. I thank you for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And I accept him now as my Lord and Savior, believing that the sacrificial debt of his was really a debt for me, for my sin. If you believe that in your heart, the Lord is only ready to forgive. The Lord is only ready to forgive. Let us bow and close off in prayer. The Lord is open and ready to forgive. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your extended hand unto each and every one of us. Which one of us can say, I have no fault in me. I am sinless. I need not Jesus Christ in my life. No, not one. And so, Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. We thank you, O God, that those of us who have asked for forgiveness, you've responded. You've said, you've forgiven us. And you're saying now, to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this rest comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh God, if there's anyone with an open heart for thee this morning, we ask that you will accept their cry and help them to see Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And as they confess their sin, oh God, accept them into your kingdom. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.